You got to understand. Amen. Sure. Fix all of it, ain't it? Glory to God. Go ahead, Ducky. God bless your heart. Appreciate Brother Todd singing that song. You can be turning to 1 Timothy in your Bible. You got to understand that song means a lot to a lot of us. Because a lot of us didn't always do right. Some people have you believe that they never lived in any kind of sin. Well, I got news for you. They're liars. God has changed our lives. We're not the man we used to be. We're not the ladies that we used to be. Because of the love and the grace of God, we can sing with Brother Todd, the old man is dead. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, if it's all right with y'all, I just want to brag on the Lord for a little bit this morning. He has been so, so good, and I just want to lift him up a little bit. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2 with me, if you would. Say amen if you're there. I want everybody, if you sit beside somebody who ain't got a Bible, let them look on with you. I want everybody looking at the scripture. Paul is exhorting and teaching a young preacher by the name of Timothy. In chapter number 2, he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, say these next two words with me, all men. Who will what? Have what? All men to be, say it with me, saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now look up here just for a second. We're going to finish reading in just a minute. He said that all men would be saved. He would have all men to be saved. Do you understand it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all have eternal life. Listen to me, there's not an elect crowd that's going to heaven. Hey, if you're breathing God's air, you are the elect. Amen. The Jehovah's Witness knock on doors and try to tell people. I think they've raised their number, but it used to be there's only 144,000 going to heaven. Well, if only, that just doesn't make good sense to me. If only 144,000 are going, I'm not going to go tell nobody else. The more of them I get in, I'm lessening my chance. That's why they had to raise the number. Amen. It's not for a select few. It's not Baptists that are going to heaven. Y'all understand that? It's not Pentecostal that's going to heaven. It's not Methodist that's going to heaven. It's born again that's going to heaven. It's saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to stop on that verse right there. I don't know why, but the Lord just told me to hammer right there a little bit. All men. I don't care who you are or where you've been, what you've done, what your past is. It makes no difference. Listen, God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died in your place so that you'd know heaven would be your home. Now I want to read our text verse. I just had to stop right there and exhort a little bit, if that's all right. In verse number 5, he says, "For there is one God," I could preach right there for a while, "and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." I'm going to look at this verse again. He said, "For there is one God." Understand, there is one God. There is a lot of little g gods, but there's only one capital G God. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." I want to talk about this mediator just for a little bit this morning. I don't know if you understand what a mediator is, but a mediator is a go-between. It's good to know people. Do you understand that? It's good to know somebody in the car business. Amen. Somebody at sales car. I like to have people in the right places. Amen. I got ready to go buy my new truck. My sister runs a body shop, or manages the body shop at Hardy Chevrolet. She gets an employee discount. So why am I going to go somewhere else? I know somebody. I got a hookup. Amen. Amen. If I get in trouble, I know a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? It's good to know. Have you ever had somebody help you out because of who they knew? Amen. They hooked you up maybe with a job. Amen. It helps. You fill out that application, it helps if you got somebody on the inside. Somebody who will speak up on your behalf and say, "Hey, that's a good guy right there. You ought to hire that fellow right there. I go to church with him. I know him. That's a good guy." It helps to have a go-between. Amen. Now listen, years and years and years ago, in the Garden of Eden, God created man perfect. Sure did. Perfect. Sinless. Gave him a wife, Adam and Eve. Put them in the Garden of Eden in a perfect place, in perfect bodies that would live forever. There was one tree in the garden that God said, "If you eat that fruit, you'll die." The serpent beguiled or conned Eve, and she took the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and because of sin, they were separated from God. Because God is perfect and God is holy. I know this is elementary for some of you, but hang on, somebody might need to get in this morning. Sin separated, for by one man sin entered into the world. Listen, sin separated between us and God. God is holy and God is just, and God cannot look on sin. Do you understand that? You say, "What is sin?" It's a transgression of God's law. You say, "Well, I'm no sinner." Oh, yes, you are. Amen. We could just start in Exodus and run down through the Ten Commandments and see how many of them you broke. Amen. Every one of you has lied. Amen. You know what that makes you? A sinner.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not a liar." Well, how about this? If that's for me, I'm not here.
Come on, Richard.
You go to trade that car in. Oh, far as I know, there ain't nothing wrong with it. Somebody help me right there.
Amen.
Give me a little witness. We're all liars, ain't we? Amen. I'm trying to think the last time I lied. It wasn't long ago, I guarantee you. Sometimes we lie without even thinking, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Y'all all right? We've all sinned. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." We're separated from God. Now, to get back to God, to get back to holiness, to get back to righteousness, we got to have somebody on the inside. And that person on the inside is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to earth and died for our sins. And the Bible said there's one mediator, and his name is not Allah. His name is not Muhammad. His name is not Buddha. The Bible tells us clearly what his name is: Christ Jesus. One mediator between God and man. We got one avenue, and that's it. You said, "You're so narrow-minded." Now, I'm not narrow-minded. That book is. Oh, I wish I could tell you you could ride a Huffy for 2 years and join the Mormon church, and that'll get you in. I wish I could tell you you could sell the Watchtower magazine, and that'd get you in the door. I wish I could tell you just do good, and that'll work. Give money, and that'll get you in. I wish I could tell you those things, but it's not true. Jesus was pretty narrow-minded when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
It's pretty narrow, isn't it? But you know what? Being narrow is a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Leaves no room for confusion.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If that's the only way, that's pretty simple. I don't have to say any, meeny, miny, mo.
That's right.
To which church should I go?
Come on,
we okay this morning? Amen. Now, I'm a Baptist because I believe it lines up with this book. Amen. If I didn't, I'd go be something else. Amen. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as my Savior. Now, what qualifies Him to be our mediator? Listen, I looked up that word, mediator. Here's the definition the dictionary gives. A person between two parties. Now, when I get to some of this, y'all can shout if you want to. A mediator is a person between two parties who establishes an agreement or relationship between two parties and may act as the guarantor of that relationship. My friend, that is Jesus all day long. Let me give you some qualifications for this mediator. In John chapter number 15, listen, the mediator must be a friend to both parties. The mediator must be a friend. If we're going to have a mediator to God, hey, he must be friends with God and he must be friends with man. John chapter number 15 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Hallelujah. You know what they called him? The scribes and the Pharisees trying to accuse him. They called him a friend of publicans and sinners. How about that? I'm glad I have a mediator who is a friend of God and he's also a friend of man. Hey, he's such a friend of God. He said, I and my Father are one. I don't mean they're actually one. They're actually two, but they live and breathe and act as one. They're in perfect agreement. They're in perfect unity at all times. They've never had an argument. I'm telling you, they act as one. I'm glad I've got somebody who is a friend of God that I can't get to unless he's a friend of mine. Amen. He must be a friend to both parties. Listen, man. Back in the hippie days, they had the peace sign. Y'all remember that? And they had the smile. Jesus loves you. Well, I got news for you. He does love you.
Amen.
He does love you. I know there's a crowd running around and preaching and saying God doesn't love sinners. No, yes, He does.
Amen.
Now God hates sin.
Yes, sir.
God hates sin, and we can categorize it, and we can excuse it, and we can paint it up, and make it look pretty. And hey, but it's still sin, and God hates sin.
Amen.
But he loves sinners. I had one cat tell me, he said, now John 3:16, that for God so loved the world. He said, that's past tense. I said, you're an idiot.
Amen.
You jacked up from the floor up, make God want to throw up.
Yes, sir.
If God didn't love sinners, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Amen. If God didn't love sinners, you'd still be wearing parachute pants and playing in a rock band. Amen. If God didn't love us, we'd be in a mess, man. He must be a friend to both parties. Thank God he is divine and he's human. He's 100% man and 100% God. Amen. That's why he had to come to earth and become what we are. We are. So we can go to heaven and be what he is. Amen. Jesus was a friend to both parties. Secondly, the mediator. If you want to turn, you can turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. The mediator, not only must he be a friend to both parties, but he must be familiar with the total problem. If he's going to be the go-between, he has to be familiar with the situation. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4 with me. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15. The Bible says, are y'all there?
Amen.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, that mediator, he must not only just be the friend of both parties, but he must understand the whole problem. You see, some people are so righteous that they can't love the unrighteous? Or they'd have you think. Are we okay? Have you ever been to a church and you felt like everybody was looking at you? Because somehow they thought they were better than you. I ever catch one of y'all looking down at one of these bus kids? We'll beat you till the fire alarm goes off. Y'all okay? You're no better than they are. I don't care, the one that came from the worst home, the one that came from that little single-wide trailer with no glass in the windows, covered up with cardboard and duct tape, you're no better than that child this morning. People get so righteous and holy that they look down their pointed noses at everybody else like somehow they're beneath you. I had a gentleman in the hallway before church this morning stop me. He said, sir, tears run down his face. He said, can you help me? I said, I don't know. Never seen him before in my life. Tried to get him to stay for church. He said his wife was an extreme diabetic and they're homeless. He said, I've got to get her something to eat. I gave him $20. Had prayer with him. Are you listening this morning? Because I understand, but for the grace of God, it's me begging for money to feed my wife. Are y'all listening? But for the grace of God, there go I. I'm glad Jesus understands the problem because he was tempted in all points as we are. Here's in short what he's saying. I understand. I know what you're going through. You ever been going through a crisis in your life like something really bad, a death? And somebody come up and put their arm around and say, I know what you're going through. And you want to bust them in the mouth? Because you know they don't know what you're going through. They know you know they don't know the hurt that you're feeling in their heart. But I'm glad there is somebody, woo, sitting at the right hand of God this morning who understands where I'm at and loves me anyway. Amen. Amen. Everybody wants to look down at the RU people. Bless God, you'll be looking up at them. At least they're trying. At least they're trying to make their life better. Amen. At least they're trying. I'm glad Jesus ain't looking down on them. I'm glad he's not judgmental on them. I'm glad he loves them. We okay this morning? I'm glad Jesus understands the whole problem. He knows the ability of one and he knows the assets of the other. Y'all get that? He knows the ability of one and the assets of the other. In other words, he knows what you've got to bring to the table, which ain't much. But he also knows what the Father has. He looks at that little meth addict that comes in here on Friday night. And the world's saying, you need to take this program, and you need to go through these steps, and you need to do this. And Jesus says, wait a minute, my Father's got what you need. And it won't cost you a dime. Are y'all listening? My Father's got exactly what you need to get rid of that addiction, to get that sin taken care of, to get that sin out of your life. Hey, thank God I got somebody who understands my situation. Amen. And loves me anyway. Amen. Do you understand that there's people in this church that probably you're familiar with and you're friendly with, but if they really knew you, they would block your calls. Jesus knows you and loves you anyway. Isn't that something? Listen, man, I'm your pastor. Have been for almost 22 years. Listen, I still mess up. I still make mistakes. You know how many times I've had to come to God and ask forgiveness? It's a daily basis. And how many of you have confessed the same sin more than once? Rest of you is liars. We're creatures of habit. The devil don't tempt you with something that don't tempt you. Now, I love Brother William with all my heart, but I've never had the temptation to kiss him. Amen. So the devil's certainly not going to tempt me with that. But he knows my weakness and he knows what I like. And that's what he'll dangle in front of my face. And every now and then the best of us succumb, don't we? Sometimes I feel like I come and say, God, I'm sorry. And I feel like he's looking down in heaven going, again? Didn't we learn last time? Are you serious?
Yeah.
But never have I got that response. Always in my heart, it's been peace and comfort that God loves me and God wants to help me up every time I fall. You know why? Because He understands. He understands. I think maybe the Lord thinks, you know, if I had not been the God man, I wouldn't have been able to take all that temptation without sin. If I hadn't have been 100% God and 100% man. So I'm understanding where you are. You're part of a cursed and a fallen race. Let me help you up. Let's clean you up and get you going again. Whoo, I ain't never going to get done with this. He must be a friend to both parties. He must be familiar with the total problem. Flip over to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. You're right there, just a couple of pages. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look with me at verse number 26. Are you there? The Bible said, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." I said he must be a friend to both parties. He must be familiar with the total problem. Now listen, he must be fair in his proposition. He must be fair in his proposition. Look at me carefully. Some people preach a religion that you cannot attain. It would not be fair if Jesus said, in order to go to heaven when you die, you have to be perfect. I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to save you, but if you ever sin again, you out. How confusing would that be? I wouldn't know if I was coming or going. If I believe that kind of junk, you know what I'd do? I'd just get saved every morning, get saved every night.
Amen.
Just in case.
Yes.
If you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute now, you can fall from grace. Which sin is it?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Which sin causes you to lose your salvation? Which one? Name it.
Great.
Jimmy Swaggart was hiring prostitutes. He didn't lose his.
Great.
But yet he preached you could.
Amen.
It wouldn't be fair for God to have it that way. It wouldn't be fair. It'd be like taking a lollipop for a 2-year-old and she's standing down there and I'd say, "Here you go. All you got to do is get it." But what good is it to offer it if she can't reach it? What good would it be for God to offer salvation if you couldn't attain it? I'm glad it's simple. Somebody said, "Oh, you preach easy believism." It's easy. Getting saved was the easiest thing I ever done. Living, it's the hardest thing I ever done. Amen. Y'all all right? It's easy to get saved. All you got to do is trust Christ as your Savior. Somebody said, "Well, you got to get saved and then you got to do this." Oh, no. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Hey, son, that preacher, you got to get in that water.
Yeah.
Do you know what's in that water? If you knew, you probably wouldn't drink it.
That's right.
I worked at put the plumbing in a water treatment factory plant that they was remodeling. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I'm talking about hundreds of 100-pound bags of stuff. I don't know what it was. They said don't go in there because if you breathe it, it'd kill you. That's what I'm going to baptize you in tonight, Chris. That may cure the cancer right there. That's nothing but tap water. There's nothing spiritual about that water. Baptism is simply a representation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a representation of your death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. It's an act of obedience after salvation. He must be fair in his proposition. You are responsible for receiving or rejecting his offer.
That's right.
I have a choice. You have a choice. to leave here saved this morning or to leave here lost. You have a choice to leave here on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. It's up to you. God never made anybody trust Him. You know why God put that tree? Somebody asked me this one time. Do you know why God put that tree in the garden and told them not to eat of that tree? Anything else they could have. Everything was fair game. But He put that tree there for a reason. He wanted man to love Him and obey Him because they chose to.
Amen.
If He hadn't put that tree there, they'd have had no other choice.
That's right.
Do you understand that?
That's right.
It's your responsibility. It's not Christ's responsibility. He already took care of His responsibility. He died for you. Your responsibility is to receive Him as your Savior. He must be fair in His proposition. Look at Hebrews chapter number 7. I'm going to try and hurry right here. I know some of y'all are thinking, thank God. Hebrews chapter number 7. A little preaching ain't going to hurt you.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 23. Verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm still trying to find it. Here it is. Now listen, not only must He be fair in His proposition, but He must be faithful in His promise. Verse number 23, the Bible said, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How about that? He must be faithful in his person. He must be faithful in his person. Here's what I'm trying to say. He's the same God today, right now, as he was way back there in the book of Acts when he saved that old murderer, the Apostle Paul. He hadn't changed one little bit. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Hey, I thank God this morning for his faithfulness. He's never changed. And by the way, his book's never changed. His words never changed. His promises has never changed. His faithfulness, his holiness, nothing about him has ever changed. He's the same God today. He was in eternity past. He's the same God today that he'll be in eternity future.
Amen.
Man, wouldn't it be a mess if God just went to changing on us all the time? Y'all all right? Now, people change, man. People change. People get different. Man, they some of them guys I went to school with and partied with and run around Dallas with. Back in the 80s and in the 90s, when the building craze was on, everybody had a hammer, was a builder. Oh, yeah. I seen a boy at New George store one day, and he was a builder. And he was making money hands over fist. And he was with another builder who was making money hands over fist. He got out of the truck, and I spoke to him. You know what he did? He went like this. Stuck his nose up in there. I said, boy, come here. I said, you just snubbed me. I helped you up out of your own vomit. And you gonna snub me because you got some dollars in your pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, I didn't realize it's you. I said, you a liar. I said, next time I see you. Amen. Man, there was a time he'd have been redneck, you know. What's up? But no. People change, man. Well, I'm glad the Lord never changed. He's the same today as he was yesterday. Amen. Thank God he's faithful in his promise. Let me give you another one right quick. I'm going to leave a bunch of this out. He must be a friend to both parties. He must be familiar with the total problem. He must be fair in his proposition. He must be faithful in his promise. Now listen to this. He must be fearless in his person. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 29. The Bible said, for he taught them as one having authority, not as scribes. You don't get no double talk from him. It's his way or no way.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus ain't going to change the method or the way in just because you don't believe.
Yeah.
Amen. Had a fellow tell me, he said, I don't think it matters what you believe as long as you believe. That don't even make sense. He's fearless. He's fearless in his person. He's not going to back up. And he's not going to back down.
Amen.
Listen, they want to portray Jesus as this wimpy looking, sandal wearing hippie.
Yeah, come on.
That's not Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was a man.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Jesus was a man.
Amen.
And he don't back down from nobody.
That's right.
Well, they crucified him. He didn't even speak up for himself. That was for you and me.
Amen.
I see him when he's taking a belt and whipping the scribes and the Pharisees, the money changers, and running them out of the house of God. Oh, God, he is love, but he's also wrath. Church members like to look around and judge, but no, he's our judge.
Amen.
And he ain't going to change it for nobody. He must be fearless in his person. He must be final in his plan. You don't have to turn, but I'm going to go back to Hebrews and look at one verse of Scripture right quick. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 17. The Bible said, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto thee, heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Woo-hoo! He's final in his plan. Let me give you this and I'm done. He's firm in his persuasion. He's firm in his persuasion. We're talking about what makes a good mediator. Somebody who can get the job done of reconnecting us and God together. You know what he said in John chapter number 7? If any man thirst. If any man thirst, let him come. Any man. There again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but listen, any man. It's not for the spiritual elite, it's for the sinner. He said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. Amen. He came for the condemned. Amen. He came for the sinner. This is what he said in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. John chapter 6 and verse number 37, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all have everlasting life. How about that? Boy, I think we got a good mediator. I was watching a show. It was a movie my wife and I watched last night. And it was called Dead Man Walking. Anybody ever seen that? It's an old movie with Susan Sheridan or whatever her name is. And this poor boy was in prison for murder. And come find out he deserved it. And he was on death row. And she's trying to get him appealed and all that, keep from having the death sentence. And his lawyer went before the board hearing. You know what a lawyer is? That's a mediator. It's the same thing. And he looked at them, them people on that panel, and he said, most people on death row are poor. That's why they're on death row. Because if they had money, they could have hired a good lawyer and got off. And I thought how true that is. If O.J. Simpson could get away with it. If O.J. had lived in the hood, he'd be on death row.
Amen.
If he'd had a court-appointed attorney, isn't that right, Miss Sue? If they get a good lawyer, boy, whoo. Listen, I got the best attorney ever known.
Amen.
And all he does is pro bono work. Absolutely free. All you need to do is come for a consult this morning. He will take your case. He's never turned one away. Let's stand our feet this morning. Brother Todd, would you come get us a song this morning? Just sing a verse of whatever's on your heart, brother. Listen, we're gonna pray in just a minute. But before we do, if you don't mind, could we just bow our heads and close our eyes together? Nobody looking around. Listen, I want to ask you a serious question this morning. If you're saved and you're sure and settled, there's no doubt in your mind if you died right now, heaven would be your home. Would you slip up your hand? Brother Eddie, I know I'm saved. I know for sure that I'm saved. Thank you so much. I wonder if there's one, say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand this morning. I don't know if I died right now, if heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Brother Eddie, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you can have that settled in your heart, I need to get that settled in my heart. Please remember me when you pray. Anybody, you can just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody, thank you so much this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we do thank you this morning that you are our mediator. Lord God, that you have reconciled us to God. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, it's not our works. It's not our merits. It's just your grace. Lord, we give you glory for it this morning. Lord, you saw every hand. Lord, you know every heart. Please have your way in this altar call. Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.